Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I am FPL D Unit and we are up and about today because it is game week 37, team selection and final plugs. Everything you need to know ahead of making your own decisions for your own teams. I've got you covered. There's a lot to get through and I'm going to have a very late final mail that I've been preparing specifically for deadline day tomorrow. They'll be out very early Friday morning UK time. So keep your eyes out for that. And the deadline, remember folks, is tomorrow. It is at 6 p.m. The first game is between Aston Villa and Tottenham at 7:30 p.m. So make sure you're not snoozing on that thinking it's Saturday. It is not. FA Cup day is Saturday. Friday night football is on. Two games this week and they're going to be front and center of the agenda today. Without further ado, smash a like on the video. Subscribe if you haven't already subscribed. Please help me continue to grow the channel. And without further ado, let's jump straight into it. Well, the best place to start is which forward should you dump? Now, I don't own any of these three forwards because I predominantly saw the kind of form that they're all in and I didn't like a lot of it and I've dumped them all. So for me, this is not a question, but for a lot of people, you still have the template dilemma of Mateta, Marmoush and Isak. So which one should you sell first? Well, this is where it gets a little bit tricky. Now, I would argue that Isak is probably the least priority sell out of these three based on the fact that he's playing 90 minutes, pretty much give or take for Newcastle most weeks, and they are chasing Champions League football. Now, Marmoush got rotated out of the lineup as soon as Haaland was fit. I don't know if that's a sign of things to come, but they did look a lot better when I thought Marmoush came on. So this is the problem with Pep Brilhart. Unless you're Haaland or Guardiola, you don't know whether you're going to be stunned from week to week. And to be honest with you, that is enough of a reason to make me suggest that maybe Marmoush is the first one that leaves. Now, Mateta starts every game. Unfortunately, since his injury, he barely lasts 60 minutes. In fact, quite often he's getting subbed before 60 minutes. So again, those two are the 2 minutes risks. But I think I've got more confidence in Mateta to start against Wolves in Crystal Palace's last home game, even regardless of how the FA Cup goes on the weekend, FYI. I still think all those assets will start. I just don't know how well they'll play. But Marmoush, I think he's the one most at risk of not starting, is my honest answer. So if you're, ideally, you want to sell both of those two, is my honest answer. So if you are looking at a forward transfer this week, I think either of them is a nice sacrificial lamb for other options that look significantly better in game week 37. The triple captaincy. Now, some people still have this left, and I wish I kind of had mine left because I think I'd actually take a punt on this man this week. Now, I've done a little bit of digging on Cole Palmer for this exactly. Now, he scored 209 points this season. He hasn't had a bad season. He's got 15 goals, 10 assists. His XG numbers per 90 across the season are still very high as well. So 0.5 expected goals per 90, 0.26 expected assists per 90. The last time he played Manchester United, and this one was at Old Trafford, he got 3 points and he recorded an XGI of 0.51. So underperformed that massively. But let's have a look at his record last season versus Manchester United. So we can all agree that Cole Palmer has not been in the same form that he was in earlier in the season. I think that's pretty safe to say. Nicholas Jackson will have a large part to that, and Nicholas Jackson will be missing from these last couple of games as well, which may come into your line of thinking. But when Chelsea went to United last season, he scored. It was a 2-1 loss, but Cole Palmer scored. In the second game, which was back at Stamford Bridge, Cole Palmer scored a hat-trick in what was one of the most craziest games of football I've ever seen, and it just summed up Erik ten Hag well. Now, is that enough for you to take a punt on the man? Well, according to everyone else, no one's really bringing him in. But I am seriously considering bringing this man in. And I think he is actively worth a good punt. He's going to be a lot more differential, particularly if you're on like the top 100,000 compared to like Ollie Watkins this week or even a Morgan Rogers. I just don't know. I've just got a feeling. I'm a Man United fan and we are rubbish. And for that reason, I just think that if there's a punt to be had, it might actually be on one Cole Palmer. So the fixtures to target in game week 37. Now, I've broken this down. I've tried to make it a little bit easier for people to look at the fixture difficulty rating this week and which fixtures you should actually be targeting. And these are the four fixtures I've come up with. Everton versus Southampton, very good for defensive assets. Also, the last game at Goodison Park. And Beto looks like a shoo-in here, I reckon, to get a couple of goals. Maybe one. Maybe none. I'm not sure. But I think he's a shoo-in. Leicester City versus Ipswich is good for all teams combined, I think. And it's just good for their forwards and forward players in general. Two of the worst defences going up against each other. You've just got to be on board. The Vardy party, Ruud van Nistelrooy, I have come out and pronounced that Jamie Vardy is going to score his 200th goal for Leicester on the weekend and his 150th in the Premier League. Jordan Ayew's even on board. They're going to be teeing him up left, right and centre. If Jamie Vardy doesn't get his 200th goal, I will do a deadline stream next week on Sunday with my shirt off. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for anyone watching, but that's how confident I am that Jamie Vardy is going to score in this game. So hold me to that. Then obviously we've got the two fixtures on Friday night, and these two are just delicious on paper for the home teams. Chelsea versus Man United and Aston Villa versus Spurs. If somehow Postecoglou or Amorim send out anything resembling a full-strength lineup, I'll be absolutely flabbergasted. I won't understand it. Why would you risk any of your players with a final that means absolutely so much to both of these clubs 5 days away? Now, Spurs, I can argue, potentially are more chances of fielding a lineup because of the fact that, well, they rested their whole team on Sunday, and that would have been 2 weeks between games for them. Man United, on the other hand, though, played a lot of the players we're likely to see in the Europa League final on Sunday against West Ham, and they were god awful. And Lenny Oro almost got himself injured. So I just can't see them risking the players. That's my narrative. And being a fan, I'll be very disappointed if we send out anything that resembles anything close to a full strength team. Now, the other things to note, Manchester City, Nottingham Forest, Chelsea, Aston Villa, Arsenal and Newcastle United all fighting for the Champions League still. So they are definitely still very much invested in this season and teams to target for that reason. So assistant manager for game week 37, and these are the four best options this week. So we're going to start with the two table bonus options. I've gone a little bit off Iraola, but I've seen Graham Potter has got Nottingham Forest at home, and I can't see anything other than a result of some description for West Ham, either a draw or a win. I think he's almost a shoe in there to get something from that game. Then we look at Hertzler versus Liverpool, and there's been pictures showboating around of either partying in Ibiza for Arnie Slot. I mean, why not? I'd do it as well. Go and get yourself lit at the opening, mate. Fantastic stuff. Go and listen to some house music. I'm there with you. And then obviously the players have been in Dubai. Now, are they partying? Are they training? Honestly, I think Brighton, I'm actively thinking about whether I start for Bruggen and Goal again this week instead of Raya, now that I've seen these pictures come out. I think Sutter's still a really good option, but I wouldn't be surprised if Brighton got a really good result here. Then it's the two managers that are versing the two unbelievable basket cases in the Premier League that are contesting somehow in a European final. It's Emery at home against Tottenham. I mean, if Tottenham roll up like they did against Liverpool, Aston Villa are going to hit him for like 4 or 5 goals, 100%. And if they start their normal players, their confidence is going to be absolutely battered before that final. And then obviously Maresca against Man United. Now, losing Nicholas Jackson isn't ideal, so maybe they won't score as many goals as what they might have with Jackson in the lineup, but I still think Chelsea easily dispose of Manchester United. So for any reason, if you're on the assistant manager this week, I'd be moving it to one of these managers. You're almost guaranteed, I would think, for all of them to get a decent return this week. So my final plugs for game week 37. Will there be more goals this weekend? Because last weekend, honestly, there weren't that many. And the teams that we expected goals to be scored against, they actually did really well. They almost kept clean sheets. Like Ipswich only conceded one goal. Southampton conceded none. Leicester only conceded two. I mean, yeah, it was interesting. It was really weird. Will we see a return to high-scoring games? Normally you do it this time of the season because people just don't care. They're on the beach. They try stuff they don't normally try. I don't know, but I'm hoping so. How much rotation will there be post the FA Cup, and will there be injuries? Because that's the thing. We won't know before the deadline how those games in the FA Cup go. So we could be sitting there starting our Palace assets, starting our City assets. It might go to 120 minutes, and all of a sudden there might be some rotation. We will not know this prior to the deadline. Also, how will the teams respond midweek? Now, this is probably more a question for Palace more than Man City. Man City need to show up against Bournemouth to make sure they win to get Champions League football for next season. They can't afford not to show up. Crystal Palace, on the other hand, they don't really have anything to play for outside of the FA Cup final. So it doesn't. I don't know how they're going to show up against Wolves, but it's a nice fixture on paper for them at home. Who's the best captain as you shout this week? Is it between Watkins and Palmer, or is it someone else? Well, I'm not sure, but there's a lot of options this particular game week. And will Haaland find form to make him the ultimate differential? I'm certainly hoping so. I haven't bought him in last week on the cards of Bice, and I'm hoping that this is the week he pays back. So the best defenders to buy this week, it is my boy Cucurella. Normally, the person I put first in this category scores and gets a 15-pointer. So no pressure, mate. You're playing my team. I give you permission to score a goal and get me 15 points. He's under 1% owned in the top 10K. So if he actually does that, I'm going to be loving life. Mikalenko comes in at number two. Great option there. Cash comes in at number three. Obviously, with that nice Tottenham fixture. Four, Collins, dark horse. He's just always there in the background waiting to deliver. Konza comes in as well. Luka Dean, unfortunately, too much of a minute's risk for me. So that's why he doesn't make the cut. And Kota Cody, he's versus one of the worst defenses in the league. He already scored last weekend. I wouldn't bet against him doing it again this week. Best midfielders to buy, it's Rodgers at number one for me, followed by Palmer at number two, Bowen at number three, Shardo at number four, Enzo at number five, Marco Asensio at number six. Seven, it's Beto. Eight is Madueke. Now, you could split the hairs on all those Chelsea midfielders. I think they're all going to be really good this week. Gibbs White comes in at number nine, Alanga number 10, and McNeil, if you're after a cheeky Everton pun in the midfield, comes in at number 11. Best forward to buy, it is Watkins. I mean, the data, I've looked it into it, and you'll see it in the late mail tomorrow. It's actually quite scary taking him on based on the data alone. Beto comes in at number two, just in front of the Vardy party. You could split hairs there. I just feel like Southampton's worse than Ipswich in terms of defence, normally speaking, so that's why I've got him that way around. Four, it is Haaland. Number five, it's Wissa. And number six, it is one, the Chris, the Woody Woodpecker. Can he do it again? So this is how the team went in game week 36. I did get 60 points. This was of a minus four. Obviously, I took a minus four to move out someone in the midfield for Shardo. Can't remember. Jacob Murphy. Jacob Murphy for Shardo. So in reality, I actually made an extra point on that move. But ideally, you know, the other moves weren't that flash. Obviously, I moved Cunha in for Isak, which was a negative of 2 points. And I moved Haaland in for Marmoush, which was the benefit of gaining 1 point. And then obviously I played my triple captain on Haaland, and least said about that, the better. But it was just unfortunate. So Dan Byrne on the bench there, it was between him and Munoz, and they both scored the exact amount of points. I expected Milinkovic to do better here. I expected Forrest to keep a clean sheet. They did not. He was disappointing. In reality, maybe I should have been looking at Dan Byrne versus Milinkovic, but that's one of those things. You can't get it right all the time. I got the goalkeeping right, and Bart Simpson, Brabruggen, showed up. He put away his cartoon hat and he showed up. The only question is this week is, can he do the same thing again against the Liverpool team that's on the bench? On the beach, same thing. Obviously, Wissa was disappointing. Yellow card, missed a fairly decent chance in that game as well. And Buemo with only one return there with the assist. That was disappointing as well. Asala, again, another blank. Bowen, fantastic. This man is a man on fire, and I expect him to continue scoring the next 2 weeks. And then Cunha, lucky not to be sent off, truth be told. Hooked before the 60th minute. If there's a player that's in the firing line this week, it is one Mateus Cunha, prior to him hopefully coming to Man United. Clivert, obviously, probably the worst transfer I made. I think if I went back in my time for that bench boost, I probably would have bought in Rodgers instead of Clivert, because he would have been a lot more useful than what Clivert has been for me ever since I bought him into the team. So my current squad versus what I think is a great free hit squad. Now, some people might be on free hit, and I'm telling you, you don't have to spend your budget here. That is the best free hit team you can buy this week by a country mile. You are benching Mo Salah in this lineup as well, or Bryan and Buemo. It's one or the other. Whichever one you don't like the look of, just bench him. You start Pickford in goal. You've got Cucurella in defense with Dean and Mikalenko. Yes, I've taken a punt with Dean because I am a bit risky like that. I just think there's lots of points there. Then you start Cole Palmer, Neto, Mo Salah and Rodgers. And then up front, you've got the ultimate dream lineup this week. The amazing fixtures on paper. Ollie Watkins against Tottenham. You've got Beto against Southampton. And you've got the Vardy party against Ipswich. The more I think about it, the more I quite am tempted by a Vardy party captaincy. it's just something romantic about it. In my own team, obviously, at the moment, we are looking at getting rid of one Mateus Cunha with $2.2 million in the bank. Not sure where I'm going to go. I've got a few options that we're going to work through, but that's what a free hit draft for game week 37 looks like, and that's the best thing I think you can come up with this week. So my updated chip strategy, just really quickly, once again, I've been hovering around the same rank for about 3 weeks now, so ever since game week 33, when lots of people playing their bench boost and stuff, and the blank game week 34 free hit, I have literally sat between 6,000 and 5,500, give or take, between the game weeks. So, unfortunately, my triple captain gave me another red arrow, and you learn something from here. When I played chips this season, my rank has actually gone backwards. So I am kind of concerned about game week 38 when I'm playing my free hit, that it doesn't do that. Realistically, free hits, generally speaking, are meant to make you points more than what the average person is getting. So I'm hoping the next week that will pay off, because I don't have many Arsenal players and they've got an amazing fixture next week. I don't have many Bournemouth players and they've got an amazing fixture next week. And there's other teams that I just like the look of for 1 week punts next week. But in reality, this is where we are. We roll, we go. And look, I'm still very optimistic. The aim at the start of the season was to finish top 10K. We are well on track to do that, provided I don't make any really stupid rash decisions between now and the end of the season. Either way, I'm on for a very good finish. And for that, I'm very thankful and very blessed that I've had a lot of luck shine on me outside of the bench boost and the triple captaincy chip uses this season. So my potential transfers for game week 37 with one free transfer with $2.2 million in the bank. So I'm open to a minus four this week, because this is my last week making transfers that are going to cost me transfers, because I've got the free hit next week and I don't have to worry about it. I literally will be ripping my team up on Sunday night, Monday morning, whatever it is, Tuesday morning. I'll be having my first free hit draft out Monday early just for you guys, just to see what I'm looking at for game week 38. So the first option here is just to do the sensible thing. And ironically, my team on Fantasy Football Hub, maybe this is why the AI team is just sucking and keeps getting red arrows, it reckons that my team at the moment, with benching Clivert, is ranked 95%, like a game week rating of 95%. That's with Cunha starting. Now, when I did the transfer of Cunha out for Watkins and played Watkins, my game week ranking actually dropped to 94%. So Fantasy Football Hub, for some weird reason, thinks that Watkins is worse than Cunha this week. I don't know what it's on, but it's obviously smoking pot or something. That doesn't make any sense to me. That's the most logical transfer, protecting my rank, right? Lots of people going to be bringing in Watkins. I've got Haaland as my differential. Wissa is also quite highly owned in the top 10K. Then it's really Haaland against Isak, and I'm hoping that Haaland pays off, which, in theory, it could work. Or I take Watkins on. And in this case, I can then do a couple of things. I could do Wissa and Cunha out. So get rid of the Wissa ownership and go with a Vardy party and Watkins, take a minus four that way, roll two forwards for two transfers. Again, money's not really an issue here. I've got plenty left in the bank after doing those moves. That almost covers me against all those people buying Watkins, covers the Aston Villa game, which I am concerned about because I don't have any Aston Villa assets at all at the moment. But it also means I'm taking a minus four. And does minus four really feel that good to really be protecting rank? I'm not sure it does. Then we look at number three. And number three is where it starts to get a little bit juicy. We've got Clivert and Cunha out for Palmer and Beto. Now, as of my calculations, I'm not going to be priced out of this move. I've got the exact money in the bank to do these two moves. Realistically, I'm not sure it's worth a minus four, but they are hugely differential. I'm literally betting all against the Aston Villa game against Spurs, which could come back to bite me in the bum. No doubts about that. But it is one that fills me with great anticipation. I mean, Cole Palmer's like 3% owned in the top 10K. Imagine playing him and he goes absolutely ham against Man United, and all of a sudden next week, the top 1K is back on with a free hit. I mean, it's quite possible, right? And then the fourth one is instead to do Clivert to Rodgers and then bench either Cunha, Wissa, or Sade in my lineup. That's also another option. So there's a number of options in there. I could also take another minus four with the Cunha to Watkins move or the Clive to Rogers move. I could just do both of them and cover Aston Villa with two players. Or I could go with a low-owned Chelsea player in that midfield as well, like a Madueke, a Neto. They're also really good. Or an Enzo Fernandez. They're all really good this week. I'm not sure where I'm going to go or where I'm going to land at this moment in time. So the bench ratings this week, defenders, Cucurella is at the top, followed by the Davila defence, followed by the Everton defence, followed by Gvardiol, Ruben, Collins, Munoz. Then it's the Forest defence, then it's Essien-Young Robinson, if he actually gets up and plays, Arsenal defence, Newcastle defence, and then lastly, it is the Liverpool defence. Midfield is it's Rodgers, followed by Palmer, followed by Chelsea mids, followed by Asensio, followed by Bowen, followed by Brentford mids, followed by Forest mids, followed by City mids, followed then by Salah. I think he's quite far down the pecking order this week, followed by Palace mids, Newcastle mids, Bournemouth mids, and then Saka at the bottom. I just don't think Saka's going to do very much. I honestly think that game's going to be nil all, which is why I've got Newcastle mids and Saka right at the bottom. I know the defenders are also there, but I can also see it finishing 1-1, and I can't predict which way, but I think it's going to end up in a draw. In terms of the forwards, it's Watkins, followed by Beto, followed by Vardy, followed by Haaland, followed by Wissa, Wood, Cunha, Isak, Marmoush, Mateta, Jorgen Strand-Larsen, Welbeck, and then Raul. I am aware that João Pedro is off suspension and is available. I just expect him to stay on the bench in this week. So the captaincy decision this week, and I think it's between one of seven players this week. I can make an argument for all of these players. Mo Salah has obviously scored the most points this season. He's still trying to break records. He probably comes in at number seven. Brian Mbeumo, I think, is just a solid pick. He's always on penalties. He's always on free kicks. He's on the corners. There's a lot to like there. There's many routes to points. And Brentford still have something to fight for, unless Crystal Palace obviously win in the FA Cup. Then they have nothing left to fight for. So that game might determine what kind of Brentford show up on the Sunday. Erling Haaland is a great differential, particularly in my rank. And I just think that at the moment, I just think he's a really good captain. He's very going to be low owned. Ollie Watkins then comes in because every man and his dog is going to be captaining him. I ran a captaincy poll in my WhatsApp group chat, and it is almost 75% are captaining Watkins, which is scary, which is why I'm like, can I afford to take this man on? But if everyone's captaining him and I'm not captaining him, what is the point of me bringing him in? Because he's going to be over 100% ownership. Maybe I just bet against him and just go for broke and hope that my play comes off instead. Then we got one Cole Palmer. And Cole Palmer, I just think he has the capacity to go nuclear, right? And I think everyone's forgotten that. And part of me wants to almost just one last hurrah, bring him back and hope that he does something. I mean, he did look good against Liverpool. Against Newcastle, he was pretty anonymous, and I don't think that was helped by the fact they were down to 10 men. Then we've got Beto against Southampton. Could you see a couple of goals there, potentially? And then we got what I think is probably the most outrageous captaincy shout. But if you have a look at the data from earlier in the season when they played away, the only player that returned in the reverse fixture away from home, and they're all at home this time, was one Jamie Vardy. He got an assist and 5 points the last time. For that reason, I think maybe the Vardy party is one to back in the captaincy decision this week. So, on to my team selection for game week 37. And look, at the moment, it is Reyes starting in goal and Verbruggen starting on the bench. Now, that may well change based on a card flip tomorrow night, because I'm not sure how that game's going to go. As I said, I in my narrative, I'm like, oh, it could be nil-all. But then I'm like, why am I putting Dan Byrne last on my bench if I think it's going to be nil-all? Why would I not play Dan Byrne instead of like a Gvardiol take on that ownership or a Daniel Munoz take on his ownership? But I have no confidence in it. So for that reason, maybe I should play Bart Verbruggen instead of Raya. Then it becomes a question about Salah. It is what it is. But Cucurella at home against Man United is the only green fixture along with Milinkovic in terms of green fixtures this weekend. Milinkovic is definitely staying on the bench, though. I just think Nottingham Forest are going to concede. That's no longer a green fixture, I don't think. Gvardiol's obviously got Bournemouth at home. Munoz with Wolves at home. Again, really nice attacking potential there. I really like those options. Then we go into the midfield. We've got Mbeumo at the moment as vice-captain. Salah, obviously, against Brighton away, is on the field at the moment. Sade, obviously, is part of a double Brentford midfield, and I'm not sure. It went well last week. Will it go well again this week? That is a question that I need some help with in the comments. So please whack your comments in there. Let me know what you think. So he's got Fulham at home as well. Then it's Bowen. That is not a red fixture for Nottingham Forest. That should be a grey fixture. I'm surprised that FDR haven't actually fix that on the fixture difficulty rating. Nottingham Forest are so close. They're like the fourth worst for like expected goals conceded at the moment. Why is that a red fixture? Like, come on, what are you telling me? And then obviously we've got Kluivert sitting on the bench. He's, as I said, an option to move out for Cole Palmer. Again, I don't know who I would bench in these scenarios, but it's definitely what I'm looking at. Then in the forward line, we've got Wissa at home against Fulham. So I've got triple Brentford attack. It can either go really well if Fulham don't show up, or could go really poorly and I get three blankers. That kind of concerns me a little bit. Cunha obviously at home to Crystal Palace at the moment, but he's highly likely to move out potentially for a 1 week punt. And then Erling Haaland is my captain at the moment. I am taking a gamble here. It didn't work in game week 36, but I'm hoping that this week is the week where the card pays back with double the points in game week 37 for me. One can only hope, right? So game week 37 deadline decisions, what you need to be aware of. So game week 37 and 38, any remaining chips need to be used. Not many teams have ideal fixtures this week and next, so you might need to find one of the game week 37 and 38. You might find one of them looks pretty rough on paper. Like some people's teams this week don't look very good, but then next week they look okay. Or your team might look good this week, but then next week doesn't look okay. Then is it worth taking hits to fix this? I'm not sure. It depends on what you're chasing, your mini league, whether you're chasing about overall rank or whatever it is. You've got to work this out. Also, if you've got free hit or wild card, you just play it next week and you just go out all in. I'll be here for a live watch along on my free hit next week and it's going to be brilliant. FPL Have a Beer is going to be joining me. Maybe the Tom, if Tom can sort himself out, he'll be joining us as well and he'll be all beard up for everyone that is after a repeat of that performance from the Tom back in the day. Also, I think punts are worth chasing, especially if you're like chasing rank. I'm even thinking about taking punts this week and I don't really need to. My team is already quite differential. Assets to target. Now, targeting teams playing Manchester United and Tottenham are the keys. Just target those two fixtures. They are rubbish. They are probably worse fixtures than playing Southampton and Leicester at the moment. Like, I think they're actually easier for teams that are playing Man United and Spurs. I can't believe I'm saying this. It hurts my soul saying this, being a United fan, but it's the truth. You expect them to lose and you expect them to concede goals. And that's exactly what I thought on Sunday against West Ham. We're going to lose. I thought Tottenham were going to lose against Palace. And that's exactly what happened. Other than that, focus on teams as something to play for. That is the rule of thumb. That is where you want to be targeting. Don't be wasting your time and energy on teams that have got nothing to play for, yet normally ends up in disappointment. Chip strategy for 37, 38. If you have an active AM, target the table bonus. Honestly, Potter, Hersler, even Areola, maybe even Rusk if you're fancying them to do something against Edison, Everton at Goodison Park. If you've got bench boost play it this week, there's always mad rotation in 38, so you don't want to be risking that. And if you've got free hit and wild card, as I said, play it in 38. You could also play your triple captain on a really nice fixture in 38 as well. I don't mind that, finishing off the season that way as well. It's all about having fun on the final day. And also, now's the time to go differential. Chasing rank, you're not going to do it by picking the assets that are getting bought in by everyone. You've got to go a little bit differential. Maybe instead of going Ollie Watkins, go a Beto, go a Vardy Party. That's how you gain rank. Also, who to captain in game week 37? Salah, Haaland, Watkins, Palmer, and Boemo. Have I missed anyone? Are you captaining someone? Are you captaining Jordan Pickford, hoping he saves a penalty? It could well be the case that some people out there are. So that brings us to the end of my team selection and final plugs for game week 37. It's the penultimate game week of the season. I'll be live tomorrow from 4 p.m. UK time with my deadline stream. Make sure you join me for that. It's going to be hectic. It's going to be chaotic. I don't know what moves I'm going to make. The card, I've resurrected the one that picked Cunha captain over Salah in blank game week 34. So the good news is it's back. I've found it. We can expect some better calls tomorrow from the card is my advice to anyone that is wondering. But let's have a round of applause for the shard call last week from the other card. It's the only damn thing it got right. Without further ado, I'm off. Smash a like on the video. If you haven't already, please smash that subscribe button as well. And I will catch you tomorrow for the late mail followed by the deadline stream. That's been FPL D Unit.